We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now, again, as we study a very extremely precious, precious section of Holy Writ which you've given us. And pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to this word, and comfort us as we walk through this great and terrible wilderness toward our eternal glory in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a day in our country where we're celebrating a day called Valentine's Day, where we express love one toward another. And it's not by chance that we are looking right now at a part of what, in my opinion, is the most precious section in all Holy Writ. And I'll read all of it and then zero in on the verse that we're looking at. The section is from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, the bridegroom talking to his beloved bride. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Looked at the first part, first section. And this morning now, the first part of Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 13, reading this way. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. In this most beautiful section of Song of Songs, here in chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, the Holy Spirit gives us a picture of the final resurrection and Christ's kingdom of glory. By opening his book of the volume of nature, he gives us images of things we know here in this world to give us a taste of what we will have on a much grander scale in the new heaven and new earth, where the bride will spend eternity with her beloved bridegroom. First of all, looking from the negative side of things, he tells us that the winter is past, and the heavy, icy rain and snow is over and gone. Or, as he puts it in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then from the positive point of view, he tells us that the eternal springtime has arrived. The flowers appear on the earth. Flowers are one-time usage in Scripture here. The flowers appear on the earth which had been covered with ice and snow. The singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard on our land, breaking the silence of a long, hard, cold winter. And now the Holy Spirit opens the page of the volume of nature which speaks of the fig tree with her green figs and the vines which, with the tender grapes, give off a good smell. The fig tree is a common thing in Scripture. In fact, references to it are found from Genesis to Revelation. Sometimes the fig tree is shown in a very good sense. Other times it is shown in an evil sense. Interestingly enough, this is the only occurrence of the fig tree in the Song of Songs. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. Fig tree. Let us look at a few examples on both sides of the coin. The bad sense first. As you already know here at Water of Life, first occurrences in Scripture are very, very important. And the first occurrence of the fig tree is not a good one. As we would expect, it's found in the early chapters of Genesis. Genesis 3, beginning at verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." The word translated aprons here can also be translated armor, and here it should be. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves armor. Why did they do that? Because they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And Adam and Eve had rebelled against their Creator. And they were now members of the enemy camp. And they needed armor to defend themselves against the Almighty God. It didn't work. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And for armor, they relied upon the leaves of a fig tree. This is extremely meaningful. In the New Testament, the fig tree is sometimes used as a figure of the visible church, which was corrupted by the teaching of the false prophets with their false doctrine. Example from Mark chapter 11, beginning at the 11th verse. "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now that the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Scene opens in Jerusalem, in the temple, where Jesus, the Son of God, looked at everything that was happening. Among the things that were happening were the money changers making big bucks in what should be the house of prayer, but had now become a den of thieves. And leaving the temple, leaving Jerusalem, he went with the 12 to Bethany, only a few miles away. He spent the night in Bethany, then came the next day. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry," evidently hadn't had any breakfast, "and seeing a fig tree," here it is, "a fig tree, having seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet." Those who know tell us that the fig tree bore figs before it had leaves. If you saw a fig tree that didn't have any leaves, well, there was a chance that it might have figs, but it probably wouldn't. But if you saw a fig tree that had leaves on it, there should be figs there, because the figs came before the leaves. So Jesus is hungry. He sees this fig tree with leaves on it. He comes up hoping to find something to eat, but there were no figs there. The leaves had lied. They were liars. And Jesus answered and said unto it, here you have the Son of God talking to a tree. He answered and said unto it, it is the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now there's a little break. He comes to Jerusalem and he goes into that temple that he had been in the day before and looked upon all things that were happening. And they came to Jerusalem and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel in through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called the house of all nations, the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. These money changers kept showing up like a bad penny. Twice in the ministry of Jesus, he had to kick them out. He did it at the beginning of his ministry, and now he does it again at the end. They came back. And after they were kicked out this time, they would come back again. Money making has always been a big, big gimmick in the church. Next verse. And the scribes and chief priests heard it. What was their reaction? We, if we were gullible enough, would expect that it would be one of repentance. That they would repent of their wicked deeds and come to the Son of God and ask for forgiveness. Well, that didn't happen. When the scribes and chief priests heard it, they sought how they might destroy him. Why? Because he was hitting their pocketbook, that's why. The love of money is the root of all evil. And when even was come, he went out of the city and back to Bethany. Now the next day, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree. Remember now, this is a picture of the visible church. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. This is amazing. Usually it happens the other way around. The ends of the branches start withering a little bit and it works its way down. Here, it was withered up from the roots. And Peter marveled at it. Peter, calling remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. This is a parable in action. It is the history from the beginning to end of the outward visible church, which from the very beginning, when Cain and Abel came both to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, from the beginning has been filled with hypocrites. The devil attacks from within. And the history of the visible church is one of false prophets and God's judgment against the church because of it. Okay, interestingly enough also, the fig tree is used as a time reference. This is in Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 and 33. Son of God talking, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, our text, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vine with the tender grape give a good smell. Matthew 24:32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Now the application. So likewise ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. The these things that the Son of God is referring to are recorded in Matthew chapter 24, where no less than three times he warns against the danger of false prophets. Beware false prophets. Many shall come and shall deceive many. And when you see these things come to pass, know that the final judgment is near, even at the doors. It's close. Now let's turn the coin over and look at the fig tree in Scripture in the good sense. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. This is interesting. This term, green figs, is a one-time occurrence. You will find it nowhere else in the Bible except right here in Song of Solomon or Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 13, which is yet another indication that the Holy Spirit is talking to us about the final judgment day and the day when the enemy is going to be put down and the wedding bells are going to ring for Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. Green in the Bible is the color of life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Mark chapter 6, verse 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. This happened during the feeding of the 5,000 out in the wilderness. Another thing that happened under the fig tree, in contrast to the Garden of Eden. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael saith unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? We've never met. How do you know what kind of a person I am? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Unlike Adam and Eve, who were hiding from God with armor of leaves they had taken from the fig tree, here we have the fig tree in a good sense. It's unquestionable that Philip or Nathanael was praying to God there. Who knows what the prayer all encountered, encouraged, but Jesus heard it. And the fact that he did was enough to convince Nathanael. And Jesus saith unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So here again, the fig tree is very, very closely connected with the final coming of Jesus Christ. A couple truths here just leap out at us. And truth number one is that as good as it may look on the outside, and as prosperous as it may seem to be, the outward visible church is filled with false prophets and hypocrites. The very first worship service recorded in Scripture had half of the congregation hypocrites. And I'm talking about Cain and Abel. And it's been that way ever since. The history of the visible church is a downward history from the beginning right unto the very end. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse as we approach the final day. And the hardening gets worse and worse and worse. And the judgment of God upon it gets greater and greater and greater. And false prophets are, you could say they come from the devil, which is true enough. But trace it up to the very top. False prophets are a judgment of God against the outward church, the visible church, that has forsaken him and become corrupt. The other side of the coin is this, that the invisible church, which is only made up of God's elect, there's not one hypocrite in it. It's the bride of Christ. The invisible church is always in good shape. And the false prophets and Satan himself are not even going to be able to take one away. Not even one. For this reason, the Son of God became man, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, when should the kingdom of God come? They asked him. Give us a sign. His answer was, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can't see it. Neither shall they say, Lo here, nor lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is in the heart of the bride. And that's where the Holy Spirit is doing his powerful work. And it is powerful. And it is working. And it is successful. The Heavenly Father will not have his son standing at the marriage altar without a bride. The bride will be there, and she will be glorious. We can count on it. Now we come to the vines and the tender grapes. This is interesting. The vines with the tender grape give a good smell. In Scripture, God's kingdom is often spoken of as being a vineyard. You know that already. Matthew 21:33 would be one example. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went away into a far country. Now, this can be a picture of the visible church or the invisible, and it can be both, depending upon what the result is. There's an old saying, I've read about it, I don't know if it's true or not, but the saying is this, serpents are driven away by the smell of vines. And who the old serpent is and who the true vine is, we know very well. Some facts here. The word vines has four hits here in the Song of Solomon. Some other interesting verses in Scripture. Psalm 105, verse 33, he smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coast. This is God's judgment here against the vines and the fig trees who have become apostate, like the fig tree that Jesus saw that had leaves on it, but the leaves were lying because there was no figs. Psalm 128, verse 3, good sense. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Judgment again, Isaiah 7, 23. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings, it shall be even for briars and for thorns. And this again is the picture of the apostate church, which on the outside looks so very, very good, but it ended up under the curse. Vines with the tender grapes. Tender grapes. Find it only 3 times in the whole Bible. Surprise, surprise, surprise. All 3 times it's found in the book of the Song of Songs. Which is exactly what we would expect. A good smell. Genesis chapter 8. Verse 21, first occurrence. Remember, first occurrences are very important in Scripture. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. That's it. A good smell. What was it? And God said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more living thing as I have done. Well, this is odd. God said, I'm not going to curse the ground anymore for man's sake because the imagination of heart is evil from his youth. Well, that's the reason he came for smiting the earth. The man's heart was evil from his youth. That's why he smote it in the first place. Now he's saying, because man's heart's that way, I'm not going to smite it again. What made the difference? The difference was that after the flood waters had receded and Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar and made a sacrifice to the Lord. And that sacrifice pointed toward the Son of God giving his life on Calvary. And that was a good smell. The Lord God treasured it. That was the difference. In the Song of Solomon, a good smell, 8 hits. And we think of Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. But I have all and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Well, what made that sacrifice acceptable? The fact that it was done through faith in Jesus Christ, that's what made it acceptable. The vines, we'll close by mentioning John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in him. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Many people know this, very few really believe it. We judge things quite differently when we look with a human eye. We can see a lot of things in this world going on that are very, very, very good. There is such a thing as moral goodness in the world that even a child of the devil can have. But the very best that a person can offer without Christ smells to high heaven as far as God is concerned. When Christ said, without me ye can do nothing, he was not overstating the case. Anything done without faith in Christ is a sin. And everything done through faith in Christ is a good work. And every true child of God brings forth much fruit. Much fruit. And a lot of this cannot be seen with the human eye, but God sees. We're living in the last days. And there are two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of the devil looks like it's in good shape. It's growing leaps and bounds. And often it looks like the kingdom of Christ isn't doing a thing. And when you look with a human eye, it's easy to wonder if it's even in existence anymore. But there's a day coming when the kingdom of the devil is going to fall. And it's going to fall very, very quickly. And even before that happens, the true kingdom of Christ, the invisible church, is in good shape. And Habakkuk sees that. Chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19, we'll end the sermon with these words. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, remember, the fig tree sometimes is used as a picture of the visible church, the one that Christ cursed. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the fields shall yield no fruit. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. And if that's not a picture of the visible church in our day, I don't know what is. But how does Habakkuk continue? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet, and will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments.